Thank you very much. This is the March 12, 2024 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. I am Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract with Thurston County and about 12 other cities and counties. As the county's appointed examiner, I have jurisdiction to hear and issue this county's final land use decisions on the projects before me today. Here at the 10 o'clock hour, I am considering the request by the Nisqually Indian Tribe for shoreline substantial development permit approval to install adult salmon trap on an existing hydro dam in Centralia. At 11 o'clock, I'm hearing the project that relates to proposed public park and formerly proposed public school in the city of Olympia. So if you're in the meeting for that matter, that hearing won't start until 11. Here at 10, I'm considering project 2021-100996. So just some introductory remarks so everyone knows or remembers how to participate in today's hearing. Please follow along. Anyone who needs to get my attention, you can call me Examiner Rice or Ms. Rice. If anybody in the meeting has requests on how they should be addressed, please let us know at your first testimony. The hearing is being recorded by Zoom. The audio recording is a crucial part of the record of this legal proceeding. And because that's true, I typically ask folks to please keep their audio muted when they're not testifying. That prevents unintentional interruptions. Also, it will help if you make sure cell phones or other phones or noise-making things in your environment are as quiet as they can be. That'll help us hear everything you have to say when you first testify. If we have any audio disruption, I will enlist the help of the hearing clerk, Ms. Sonia Katie, in taking care of that. First, we'll ask a person. I can tell their audio is unmuted to mute, but then I'll ask her help. If we have any intentional interruption in today's meeting, I'll ask her help in evicting people from our meeting. I will ask everyone to testify one at a time. That is so that your testimony can all be heard. When it is your turn to testify, I will first ask you to please state and spell your name for the record, and then to give me the correct job title by which the findings should acknowledge you. If you're a member of the public, we'll ask for the name and the spelling of your name, and then either a mailing address or a US mail address from members of the public. Everyone who testifies will do so under oath or affirmation to tell the truth. Just want to make appearance of fairness disclosures. Again, I work on contract for the county of Thurston. I don't own any property near the land that is subject to either proposal, and I don't have any other financial or familial interests around these properties, and I have not had conversations with anybody, not county staff, not applicant representatives, and not the public regarding the merits of either proposal. Because those facts are true, I am confident I'm capable of issuing an impartial and unbiased decision, as is required by the State of Washington Appearance of Fairness Doctrine. Please understand, anyone who thinks they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required to raise that challenge at their first opportunity. And if you're in the meeting today, that would be your first opportunity. So your testimony would be when you would do that. Please do understand, permits are not decided by vote or consensus, and by that I mean to convey the number of people who are in favor of a project or opposed to a project, the number of people, the number of comments. These are not evidence. What the examiner is charged with doing is reviewing all submitted evidence and determining whether, on balance, it succeeds in demonstrating compliance with the criteria for permit approval and all applicable development standards. If the evidence does demonstrate compliance, the examiner does not have authority to deny a permit. And if the evidence fails to demonstrate compliance, the examiner does not have authority to approve a permit, regardless of the number of people for or against a project. So please, everyone understand, all testimony will be relevant and relied upon to the extent that it helps to illustrate whether or not the project complies with criteria for permit approval. In an application for land development, the burden of proof belongs to the applicant. That term, burden of proof, means the applicant is the party who has the responsibility of providing evidence that does succeed in demonstrating compliance with criteria for permit approval. However, in Thurston County, we typically hear from county staff first. if there's any request to take out of order testimony and to hear from applicants first, I would be happy to hear that request at any time. In any case, at the beginning of each application, I'll check in to see, make sure we're going to proceed county testimony first or find out if we're going to do otherwise. But I just wanted to say, I will hear complete applications from county and from the applicants before we go to public comment. I have reviewed the application and materials attached to the staff report in this matter, and I am prepared to ask questions of both staff and applicant to make sure I understand the project completely and the materials completely. After I've had a chance to hear those presentations and ask my questions, then I will call for public comment. When we get there, we will be asking folks in the meeting to please use the Zoom raise your hand feature to let us know you'd like to testify. Just heads up about that. After we hear public comment from all members of the public who wish to testify in the application, I will then close public comment, and then we will hear responses. And those will be first from county staff and last from the applicant, because as the party with the burden, the applicant gets the last chance to speak in the meeting. At that point, I will close the record and I will be taking the testimony and the exhibits under advisement. By county code, I do have 10 business days to issue a written decision. It is my plan at this time to, at the end of the hearing, ask the applicant if they'd be willing to grant me a 5 business day extension on the decision issuance deadline. They are not obligated to do so, but it's a request I plan to make. One other caveat about the end of the hearing and the close of the record. In a virtual hearing, it is my practice to hold the record open briefly after the hearing to allow for post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who had difficulty participating due to technology. For example, their power went out or their internet went out or something like that. That brief period is 2 business days. So I will be holding the record open 2 business days for post-hearing comment from folks who had technology problems. If we receive any, staff and the applicant will be invited to respond in writing and requested to do so within their own 2 business days. So there will be a schedule, whichever deadline, whether it's 10 or 15 business days imposed, there will be a schedule. And so at the end of the hearing, I will give you those dates and you will know exactly what the schedule is. Last thing I will do before I hear testimony is I will let you know the exhibits of evidence I was provided so I could prepare and conduct an efficient proceeding. At exhibit 1 is the Community Planning and Economic Development Department's staff report to the examiner. Attached to that document and detailed on page 17 are attachments A through T. I did receive and review all of those. And in addition, I believe yesterday I received exhibit 2, which is a comment letter from the city of Centralia. And I think those are all the documents I received in this matter before today's hearing. Ms. Katie agrees. Thank you. So exhibit 1 and its attachments and exhibit 2 are admitted. Any further documents will be given exhibit numbers as they are offered. With that, let me check in with staff and the applicant. Are we going to proceed in the normal manner and hear from county staff first in this? Okay, Ms. Tchaikovsky nods yes, and I also see Ms. Gowerly says yes. So let's go ahead. If I could have you please unmute, state and spell your name, and give us your county job title, and then allow me to swear you in.
Heather Tchaikovsky, HEATHERTSCHAEKOFSKE. I'm an associate planner and biologist with community planning.
Thank you very much. If I could swear you in. Do you swear or affirm your testimony today will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
This is for project 2021-100996. It's permit for shoreline substantial development and reasonable use exception. The applicant is the Nisqually Indian Tribe. The applicant requests approval of a shoreline substantial development or SSDP, reasonable use exception or RUE, and associated floodplain permit to construct an adult salmon trap within the existing fish ladder at Centralia Diversion Dam on the Nisqually River. This project is a key element of the salmon recovery plan from the Nisqually Tribe and Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. The trap will be made of aluminum frames with pickets with proper fish spacing of 1 inch. Two gates will block the passage up the fish ladder, directing fish into the trap area. The trap area will have a floor that lifts 5 feet to allow staff to capture the fish with nets by hand and put them into a cable lift system to move the fish to an unwalled, roofed 17-foot by 14-foot sorting facility on a cement slab. Stairs will connect the trap area to the sorting facility. The sorting area includes fish trough for handling, enumerating, scientific sampling, and tagging. There will be return pipes back to the fish ladder for returning fish upstream. River water will be pumped from the fish ladder area up to the sampling area to keep the fish in moving water, and this water will return back to the fish ladder. Within the existing trap and ladder footprint, graded walkways and platform for lift hydraulics will be added. A screen suction intake will be placed to supply water via pump to the facility. Return pipe will allow water to return to the ladder. A bypass pipe will also be installed near the lower end of the trap. New slide gates will be installed in the existing guides. In a previously disturbed area, small 10-foot by 20-foot mobile office, portable toilet, hand washing station, and gravel parking area for up to 6 vehicles will be installed. Other existing structures are all associated with the diversion dam and are not a part of the proposal. The underlying zoning is Rural Residential Resource, or RRR 1 and 5, in rural Thurston County, and the project is located in a conservancy shoreline environment as designated by the Shoreline Master Program for Thurston Region, or SMPTR, and is within the FEMA flood zone for the Nisqually River. Applicants submitted application materials on March 3rd, 2021, attachments B, C, D, E, and F. Written notice of the public hearing was sent to all property owners within 500 feet of the site, and notice was published in the Olympian on March 1st, 2024, at least 10 days prior to the hearing. Attachment A. The notice of application was sent on May 28th, 2021. Attachment L. CPED is the issuing authority for the SEPA threshold determination for the proposal. The application was reviewed pursuant to SEPA requirements. A determination of non-significance, or DNS, was issued on July 14, 2021. Attachment J. The DNS became final on August 4, 2021. The subject property is 133.35 acres and contains a hydro diversion dam, fish ladder, and associated buildings that are managed by the City of Centralia. The development site has been previously altered and impacted with landscaping, including mowing and an access road. The grounds are primarily grass, with portions of forested area outside of the hydro dam facility, and the wetland borders the Nisqually River on the east side of the property. Surrounding land uses consist of RRR 1 and 5, long-term agriculture, and rural one-dwelling unit per 10 acres. The Nisqually River is a Type S stream, which are designated shorelines of the state as defined in RCW 90.58.030. A Type S stream requires a riparian habitat area width of 250 feet, measured from the edge of ordinary high water line per Thurston County Code, or TCC 24.25.020. The project appears to meet the standards of TCC 24.25.190 for hatcheries. Wetlands in proximity to the proposal were delineated by qualified WDFW staff. The on-site wetland is a Category 2 riverine wetland with a standard wetland buffer of 280 feet, attachment G. The eastern portion of the subject parcel is in the FEMA regulated flood zone, the 100-year floodplain of the Nisqually River. The parcel is also mapped within a 1996 flood of record or special flood hazard area. The proposal is partially within the 100-year FEMA flood zone, triggering review per FEMA flood standards. Applicant provided site plan details, engineering assessment, and biop habitat assessment to comply with flood review standards per TCC 14.38 and FEMA flood standards. Attachments E, H, I, and Q. The habitat assessment determination for the project was may affect, not likely to adversely affect. For existing lots and structures where the standards of the CAO would not allow development, the existing non-conforming uses, structures, and lots chapter applies. TCC 24.50.030 would allow alteration, repair, and maintenance of a legally established nonconforming structure within the existing structural footprint through a critical area review permit and applicable standards. The proposal impacts additional flood zone outside the existing footprint of the fish ladder, as well as a small portion of the inner 50% of the on-site wetland buffer, and as such will require RUE. The Shoreline Management Act currently defines substantial development as any development of which the total cost or fair market value exceeds $8,504. The Act lists several activities that are exempt from the permit process. The adult salmon trap is not considered a customary accessory use and has a fair market value over $8,504. Therefore, an SSDP is required. The total project value for the proposal listed in the draft application is $500,000. Attachment C. The SSDP and RUE are required to be reviewed by a Thurston County hearing examiner. Staff finds the project to be consistent with RUE criteria. For salmon recovery efforts, the adult salmon trap must be located on the diversion dam in the floodplain where salmon currently travel. There is no reasonable use that could have less impact on the buffer. The wetland buffers on site are partially impacted, and the area proposed for development has been previously altered and impacted with landscaping, mowing, and access road. The proposed use is consistent with the current use of the site and will have minimal impact on the floodplain or the wetland buffer. The adult salmon trap platform has been kept at a small footprint with no walls to allow for other floodplain rules to be met. The portable office and toilet are located in a wetland buffer that has already been disturbed with regular mowing and maintenance. The project is designed such that there should be no substantive impacts to species of concern, which requires mitigation. The mitigation measures in a frequently flooded area pertain to building construction standards, which have been addressed in the conditions of approval. The wetland mitigation plan compensates for the minor impervious surface increases within the wetland buffer to meet no net loss. Attachment R. There should be no net loss of critical area functions and values. As such, staff does not believe the activity will result in damage to other properties and should not threaten the health, safety, or welfare on or off the site. And the project should have little impact to vegetation, fish and wildlife resources, hydrologic conditions, and geologic conditions. Staff finds the project to be consistent with the policy and provisions of the Shoreline Management Act, the Master Program, and the regulations of the landfill and aquaculture chapters of the SMPTR. There will be no structures over 35 feet in height or other structures which would impact views. The proposed adult salmon trap is an aquacultural operation, which is an allowable shoreline use. The SMPTR in Section 1, Part 2, specifies the approval process for allowable uses. The location of the proposed adult salmon trap is within the existing fish ladder at Centralia Diversion Dam. The addition of the salmon trap will not damage existing ecological values or natural resources, nor will it create a hazard or risk significant injury to life and adjacent property. There will be no excavation or filling activities in wetlands. Fill associated with grading will only occur in the floodplain and wetland buffer, not within the water body of the Nisqually River. It has been demonstrated to the satisfaction of Thurston County flood reviewer Tim Rubert that there will be no detrimental change in flood elevations. A no net rise analysis was provided by the applicant's engineer and approved by Thurston County. Attachment H. Fill material will be locally sourced where possible to meet the grade requirements for the sampling facility slab to be poured per project drawings. The submitted habitat assessment determined there would be little to no cumulative impact from the adult salmon trap within the shoreline environment. The project will not impact navigation, water quality, or habitat, and will not impede water flow and circulation when completed per submitted design plans. Attachments C, E, J, and K. As proposed and conditioned, the application is consistent with Thurston County Comprehensive Plan. The Public Health and Social Services Department recommends approval of the application, Attachment P. Staff from the Public Works Department closed their review with no comments. The Nisqually Indian Tribe also commented and had no concerns, Attachment M. Squaxin Island Tribe also commented and had no concerns attachment, and no public comments were received for the application. Based on prior analysis, CPED concludes that the proposed project, when appropriately conditioned, meets Thurston County requirements for SSDP and RUE permit upon hearing examiner approval.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of clarifying questions. Well, let's start with just clarifying for the record and for my understanding the process. If I understand the analysis in the staff report correctly, it looks like your department has determined that reasonable use exception is required solely for impacts to the wetland buffer and to the floodplain or special flood hazard area. Is that right? Okay. So there's no need to further review the riparian area or river itself, the setback for the river itself.
Yeah, because the hatchery component is a listed permitted use within the riparian area, that is something that we would not consider through the RUE process.
Great, that's what I understood, thank you. And it also looks like critical area review permit is not required because they are applying for a higher discretionary permit, which is a reasonable use exception. Is that right?
Yes.
Great. I just, sometimes the procedures aren't always that clear to me. I just want to make sure I understand. The next procedural question is, remind me, this happens occasionally and I don't remember. What is the procedure regarding the requested floodplain permit? I don't have criteria for approval to decide. So if I enter findings addressing the floodplain issue, does the county administratively later issue a floodplain permit?
The floodplain permit itself is not technically a separate permit. It is just the floodplain review, and that's partially happening through the land use process, but it is definitive during the building permit process.
Great, thank you. So last procedural clarification question. So the emergency authorization was granted and some, if not all of these improvements have been installed pursuant to the emergency authorization. Can you clarify for me what if any improvements remain to be constructed on site?
I would have to defer to the applicant. I have no idea what, if any, of the work has actually taken place yet.
Okay. So it wasn't clear to me from the materials whether emergency authorization that was requested in 21 and then I think granted in 21 or 22, whether construction had actually occurred. So we'll ask the applicant that. Thank you. I don't have other questions for you, Ms. Trykowski. Anything else you want to bring to my attention?
Not right now.
No. Okay, thank you. I have representatives from other county departments on the line. I don't have specific questions for either of you. Does either of you want to be sworn in and bring anything in particular to my attention at this time?
Not at this time.
Thanks, Ms. Peebles.
I don't have anything either.
I appreciate your being here in case of questions. We are ready to hear an applicant presentation at this point. If I could have the first or primary applicant representative unmute, state and spell your name, give me your correct job title, and then allow me to swear you in.
Hello, my name is Christina Gourley, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, last name G-O-U-R-L-E-Y. I work for Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and we're the agent on this project.
Thank you very much. Sorry I mispronounced your name. I don't see you often enough for it to stick. Do you swear or affirm your testimony today will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Gourley. Okay. Please go ahead.
Thank you. We haven't prepared a presentation. I just want to thank the county for all their hard work on this and diligent question asking back and forth. So that's all we have.
Okay, great. Let's start with my last question to the county. Which, if any, parts of this have been built or remain to be built?
Sure. None of the elements have been constructed yet. Some some of the pieces have been fabricated outside of the site itself in our shops, but nothing has been installed on site.
Okay. And was there any delay? I mean, the emergency authorization made it sound like you wanted to proceed in 21 to address the salmon run at that time. Was there permitting delays or just other delays that caused this not to happen under the emergency authorization?
There were a couple of factors involved. Most notably is the requirement for a FERC permit, and that has not yet been obtained.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying. That makes sense to me. I hadn't even thought that. Of course, there's going to be a FERC permit. Thank you. So none of the elements, so in the temporary job trailer, the salmon pan, the gravel parking pad, none of that's been installed?
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much. That must mean that since none of the construction has happened, the mitigation planting has not been installed yet either. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I was really looking forward to having testimony on the success and the results from the salmon trap. And now that I know it's not installed, I don't get that testimony. I hope I'll hear about it in the future if this all goes through and is approved finally. I was able to review the materials in the record, including the wetland report, the no-rise certification, the floodplain habitat assessment. I understood the materials as they were presented. County analysis helped me go through that process, and there is the SEPA determination of non-significance. I really don't have other questions for the applicant at this point. Is there anything else at all you'd like to bring to my attention?
No, thank you.
Okay. Sorry to have so few questions. I'm sure you were hoping
That's okay.
to present a lot of testimony. I feel like the written materials address my questions.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else from the applicant team who would like to provide testimony on this?
I will leave that up to them.
Great. We did have somebody unmute. Hello.
Hello.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Lorenzo Pagano, spelled LorenzoPagano, and I am an environmental engineer at Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife and an agent on this project. And I just wanted to add that I have nothing to add, and my colleague, Chris Corley, explained everything that we needed to.
Great. Thank you for letting me know. I appreciate your being here in case of questions.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, let us then, if there is nothing else from the applicant team, go and ask Ms. Katie's assistance in finding out whether we have public comment in this application.
There are no members of the public in attendance.
Okay, then I guess we won't. I'm sure everyone is very disappointed that this hearing was so fast. Last call for any comments from the county before we adjourn.
No comment.
Okay. And I assume the applicants have not thought of anything in the last 30 seconds that they'd like to add to the record, or they would raise their hand and let me know.
Correct. Thank you.
I did ask at the top, and the reason I'm asking for 5 extra days is not anything to do with difficulty regarding these applications. It's simply because of the way this work falls on the calendar amidst other projects. If the applicant can grant 5 extra business days for the issuance of the county's decision, I would appreciate it. If that doesn't work, if you're close to having the other approvals you need and 10 days is what you would prefer, please tell me so.
The extension is acceptable.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And there's a chance that I'll still get it out within this typical period, but I'm not 100% sure. So that's why I wanted to ask. With the 5 business day extension, this is the post-hearing schedule. Again, the record is held open through March, I have the wrong date here, March 15th for public comment from members of the public. 12, 13, 14, no, it's March 14th, sorry. Today is the 12th. The record is held open 2 business days through March 14th for public comment from members of the public who attempted to participate but were thwarted by technology problems.
Examiner, I sorry to interrupt, but on that note, we did have a member of the public log in since we just checked, and they have their hand up. I'm not sure if they're here for this project or the later one.
Please let's check.
Okay, so the member of the public with the name Fiscus, we'll promote you to a panelist if you click the button to rejoin the webinar as a panelist. And please let us know if you have a comment for this project. And they've accepted. It just takes a second.
Thank you. Hello,
Hello,
did you
can you
have a
hear me?
comment? Yes, we can.
And which project are you discussing right now?
Right now, we are talking about the Centralia Hydro Dam Adult Salmon Trap Project.
Okay, we're here for the next project that's
Excellent.
Scheduled for 11 o'clock.
Great, thanks.
We are
for...
just testing our technology.
It worked. We'll see you at 11.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Katie. I appreciate that. Okay, so again, the record's held open 2 business days through the 14th for post-hearing comment from members of the public who had technology problems. If we get none, the record closes on the 14th and the 15 business day decision is, is April 4th. And if we did receive post-hearing public comment from members of the public who had technology problems participating, I would ask county staff to forward that to Ms. Gorley and any other applicant representatives who are on the distribution list for this project so that everyone can respond in writing. Staff and the applicants will also have 2 business days to respond. Your responses will be due March 18th. That's 2 business days. And the decision in that event, the 15 business day decision deadline becomes April the 8th due to the weekends. So I'm going to email this calendar to Ms. Katie. She can forward it to applicant representatives and also cause it to be posted online to let members of the public know. Thanks very much, everybody, for all your work on this project. I look forward to issuing you a timely decision and hearing updates about the project in the future. But we are adjourned.